Very quickly, let's go into the Word of God. John 1:14. While you're seated, we're going to read together. John 1:14. Somebody's putting Joshua 1:14 here for me. Father, give him grace. Let's read. One to go. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father. Full of what? Full of what? We said last week, I'm not able to go in there to give you a recap, that Jesus is the full extent of the manifestation of God's grace. Jesus is the embodiment of God's grace. Amen. He is the Word. He came full of grace and truth. Say grace and truth. And last week we spoke about the subject of grace. We analyzed the three expressions that grace is found in the Bible. Grace as endearment, that is grace, or merited favor. That is just God choosing you. You did nothing about it. He just bestowed his benevolence on you. He just decided to choose you. He decided to save you. The Bible talks about being saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It is the gift of God. Amen. Not by our works. Amen. It is the gift of God. So that's grace expressing itself as endearment. In other words, God just endears himself to you. Amen. Secondly, we spoke about grace as endowment. Say endowment. And I use those, I try to use words beginning with E so that you can remember easily. Endowment. Endowment, giftings. Grace as talents, abilities, capabilities. So you say, oh, this man is graced in this area. He has grace for this. He has grace for teaching. He has grace for preaching. He has grace for singing. He has grace for leading. Amen. So that's grace expressed as endowment. Say endowment. All of the teaching gifts, the ministry gifts, the gift of the Spirit come under that. The gift of helps, your talents. Some people have grace to plait hair. They didn't learn it from school. They are grace for it, and people will line up and wait for them. Yes, there are people like that. Go to UK, you find them. Oh, yes. Put them anywhere else, they are frustrated. But let them, just give them a human head. They come alive. It's true. You think God called every one of us to be bankers? No. I keep telling you about the building project we have, the Hallelujah Challenge House, that I just go there to learn. And there are iron benders I see there who are so passionate about bending iron. They do it and they are singing, they are laughing. And sometimes I go to them, how long have you been doing this? They say, oh, guy, don't tell. And they do it so well. And guess what? Sometimes we despise those people. But no matter how much you have, you can't bend your iron to build your house. You see, we need everybody. You need everybody. They have grace in that area. That's endowment. See, endowment. And there is nobody on the face of the earth that isn't endowed. There is none. God is not irresponsible. And one of the things you are to do in life, one of the things you do through life is to search that which he has placed in you. Everyone has a talent. Everyone. Every single person under the sound of my voice is endowed. Say, I'm endowed. Say, I'm blessed. When we talk about being blessed, it's not just money. We're talking about true riches. Those things. We have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Hallelujah. Then finally, we spoke about grace as empowerment. That is the grace that we don't like to talk about. That this grace that brought salvation, Titus 2:11, also teaches us, empowers us to live the Christian life. There are people who talk so much about grace and in such an irresponsible way that because Jesus has died and given us grace that we live anyhow. You do what you want. That's irresponsible. No, no, no. In fact, I was meditating this morning, and when people try to excuse the New Testament, New Covenant, New Creation realities, I'm like, the New Covenant is actually Promax. Because in the Old Covenant, you had to be caught in adultery to be a sin. But Jesus said, in the New Testament, if you think about it, that's a sin. That is unattainable by human standards. Because you and I know the thought, if the Holy Spirit shines his light on our thoughts now, we'll run out of here. You know that? If he shines and brings his light on us, but he gives us a system of grace. He empowers us by grace. The only way we can attain godliness in this covenant is by grace, not by human effort. Amen. Say grace empowers. It teaches us. Verse 12. Teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldliness and worldly lust. So grace helps you to say no. Helps you to say no. When your flesh is crying out, when your flesh wants to give in, there's a supernatural empowerment within, a strength that you know is not by your power that helps you to stay, to say, no, I won't take that bribe. I won't sleep with that man. It's not my husband. I won't sleep with that woman. It's not my husband. It's not my wife. I won't say that thing. I won't spew that vile word. Hallelujah. Say, thank God for grace. Now, today, very quickly, we want to look at how do we unlock this grace? How do we release it? How do we activate it? The Bible says Jesus came, what, full of grace. So inside of Jesus, there is grace. So how do we activate it to experience it? People talk a lot about grace. Grace, grace, grace. But you find little fruit of grace in their lives. Are we ready? Very quickly, number one, you have to accept this grace. Accept this grace. You have to accept. Accept the grace. How do we accept this grace? John 1, 12, 13. John 1, 12, 13. Let's go to John 1, 12 first. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on him. Every time we receive Jesus, we receive his grace into our life. He comes and makes his abode in us. Remember, he's full of grace and truth. Can I have my water? Okay. He lives in us. Say, he lives in us. He's full of grace. And you see, people can choose to reject this grace. People can reject the grace. One of the greatest treasures God has given to man is the ability to make decisions, making us free moral agents. That is what puts us on the God class. Our will, see, our will makes us superior to normal animals. We're higher animals, science say. And that one thing, that soul that hosts our will, emotions, and intellect is what separates us. Ability to decide. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Holy begotten Son. And then he says that whosoever, he gives you choice. The power of choice is what makes us like God. One of the things that makes us like God. The fact that we can decide our destiny. I hope you know it's your decisions that decide destiny. Let me explain that. God would have purposed that you be an MD of a bank. And that calling or that role comes with what responsibility? You go to school. You do some courses. You work hard. You grow in character. God could have said that. But you know you can choose to not do those things. and skip school and not study and just lay on your bed and say, well, God, I said I'll be an MD. Hope you know you won't be an that MD. But did God lie? No. He didn't lie. But your decisions determined your what outcome. So people can choose to reject grace. John 3:19. And this is what? The condemnation. That what? Light is come into the world. And men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds. This is the condemnation. People would, you know, see that grace. They reject Jesus. They reject the gospel. And when you reject grace, you embrace damnation. You embrace judgment. Hebrews 3:15. Somebody will accept that grace this morning. He says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. So people can choose to harden their heart. People can choose to say no to God's grace. People can choose to say no to the gospel. Hebrews 6:4, New Living Translation. People can, even after accepting that grace, they can turn away. Hebrews 6:4-16. You know, there's the argument, once saved, forever saved. People can reject God even after they are saved. People can turn away from him. The Bible says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. Let's read together. I want to go. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once, were they enlightened before? They were once enlightened. But what happened? Those who have experienced the good things of heaven. And now, who does God give the Holy Ghost to? To those who have received Jesus, to his children. You see, they receive the Holy Ghost. Who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the power of the age to come. And who then, what? Turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance. By what? Rejecting the Son of God. They themselves are nailing him to the cross once again and holding him up to public shame. So people can reject grace. People can turn away from God. May you not turn away from God, though. Amen. We have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. We are not going. Say, I'm not going back. I've got my mind made up. And I will say, because I want to see my Jesus. I've got my mind. Mind made up. And I won't turn back. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer. Goodbye. Stay no longer. Made up my mind. I made up my mind. Say born. Born. Some good singing is allowed. Born. Born. Aren't you glad that you accepted Jesus? You did not reject him. Born of the water, born of the water. Yeah. Born of the water. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not yourself. It is the you don't force a gift on people. You don't force a gift on people. People can choose to reject your gift. Yes, it's true. I know that. You see, because of what we do, our ministry is so sensitive. And by God's grace, people bring gifts to us. I think I've told you about the story of a man of God. Someone I know on this Lekki axis, a man of prayer. Three sisters went and gave him a gift, an expensive cuffling. Expensive cuffling. He was in his office, so he was going to take it home. The Spirit of God said, don't take the cuffling. Leave it there. He left it there. You know those cufflings where you have wristwatches? It comes with wristwatches. So expensive, gold-plated. So every time he wants to pick it, he just feels. He feels a heaviness. One day, you know, a brother came to visit him, and he just dashed out the gift. That same week, one of the sisters came. Say, good afternoon, Pastor. Say, Pastor, you didn't wear the gift. You didn't wear the cufflink. He said, how do you know? He said, I wore it now. He said, Pastor, you did not. I'm not telling you fake or more real. It's my friend. And then he now said, okay. I gave it out. As soon as he said, I gave it out, one of them, she knelt down and started confessing. And said, we go from church to church. And we do something on that. And we give it to young pastors. When they wear it, if he's not strong in spirit, he begins to call us. And in 1 week, he begins to sleep with my elder sister. And when he does that, his ministry goes down. So I know when gifts come, well, I said that to say that it's not every gift you take. Maybe this is a word for somebody. That's how the prophetic works. Any demonic gift that was given to you, we neutralize the effect in your life in the name of Jesus. Whatever was given as an access into your life, we annul, we cancel its effect right now. But this is an indescribable gift. But people still reject the gift of grace. So, people can reject a gift. People can reject this gift. Number two, how do we unlock this gift? Knowledge. Shout it, say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Say knowledge. An awareness of who God is. a knowledge of who God is. And by God, I mean through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. Remember, he said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen God. Amen. Jesus came to show us God, to give us a visual representation, a physical representation of God in character, in works, in nature. So as we spend time knowing God through our Lord Jesus Christ, increasing in the knowledge of Christ, we are bound in grace. 2 Peter 1:2-3. What is this knowledge? As our knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the express image of the invisible God, grows, so do we grow in grace. As we come to a greater light and understanding of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us. Say who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us. Say it again. One more time. As we grow in that knowledge, who Jesus is, by who he is, I mean his character, his power, his wisdom, his ways, his will. As we get acquainted to this knowledge and the knowledge of what he accomplished for you and I on the cross, the finished work on the cross, as we grow in that knowledge, we grow in grace. 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace be what? Be multiplied unto you. How? Through. When you say through, he says this is the way. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So one of the things we are doing in these 90 days, as we read the word daily, as we meditate, as we pray, is we are growing our grace base. Say grace base. How many of you know that since you started feasting on the word daily, there's been a holy confidence that you have? Because the Bible says, he calls it the word of his grace. Acts 20:32. You know, the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Because as you grow, his word is called the word of grace. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. So, the more word you have in your system, the more grace you have. Say, the more word you have, the more grace you have. That's why we are on this journey. We are literally dragging everybody to read the word. I said to myself, I'm memorizing chapters every day. I've been memorizing Isaiah 53. I'm almost there. I finished some Psalms. Because I want to be so filled with the word. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly. You see, when the word fills you and you are shaking, it is word that will come out. That's how it works. Garbage in. If it's big brother that fills you, the day push come to shove, it's yeah, but I'll come out. If Nollywood is what fills you, it's Nollywood that will come out. Let me play for you a video. A woman from the UK who is following, like, I think our online member, the 9-year-old son does not know that she's on this journey with the church. He had a dream, a 9-year-old. Please play. Start again.
Hello, my name is Emmanuel, and I had a dream where two monsters came and mommy read verses from the Bible and the monster disappeared.
So the dream was the 7 into the wonders in the deep. And he has no clue of what was happening. He didn't know maybe there's any Bible that we have to read during the day, pray. So in saying that, say he saw mommy reading verses of the Bible, confirmed that, yes, I knew before, but that further reinforces that that is what is needed for that time and for that season.
You have no idea what you lose not reading the word of God. I hear some people say, well, I'm a prayer person. I'm not a word person. Acts 6. Peter speaking says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Say prayer.
Prayer.
And the ministry of the word. Okay, let me see a few people who, I did this analogy with people yesterday. Somebody said, two legs of faith. I need 10 people who will just come to the altar. So 10 people, just come. Just come, feel free. Feel free. 10 people. If people want me to manipulate you, Father, 10 people that you will bless in the next 1 week, they will come. I won't do that. Just come. You see, most airliners have at least two engines. And it's a rule that if an engine fails, the aircraft should go back to base or the nearest airport, right? Okay, just walk. You see, you don't have to think about it. Now, try and walk with one leg. Walk forward. Walk to your seat. How convenient is that? You see, what am I doing? If you don't have the legs of prayer and the word, you can't last long. You won't last long. Sometimes ministers make this thing so difficult, this gospel. Portals, depths, this one. This gospel is as easy as read your Bible, pray. Read your Bible.
Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow.
As you spend time in the Word, because the next point will be prayer, you build yourself. The leg of the Word, the leg of prayer, the leg of prayer, the leg of the Word. 2 Peter 3:17-18. 2 Peter 3:17-18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. 18. But what? Grow. Say, grow in grace. Grace has levels. There are levels in grace. Grace has levels. You can grow in grace. And how? And what? In the knowledge. You find that growth vis-a-vis knowledge. Growth, knowledge. Spiritual growth will forever be a wish if you are not engaging the word of God daily. But we will give ourselves continually. How often? Continually, the daily. Give us our daily bread. Don't be too busy to read the Bible. This is a church that is training you to grow. This is not a church where you come and the pastor waves a hand and every time you come to the pastor, we are teaching you to walk the word of God, to know the word of God. So you've got responsibility to open the Bible every day, to pray, to sit there at least an hour in prayer and the word, meditate on it. Like I told them on my group yesterday, you see, sometimes you're reading the Bible, you think it's a waste. I'm telling you, it's not a waste. Keep reading. The day life will happen, the day pressure will come. It may not be the entire verse that will pop up, but a part of it will just rise up from you. Rise up. And that will be your sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, the rhema of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The quickened word in your spirit. But if you don't have word there, what would the Holy Spirit quicken? Tell somebody, get in the word. We grow in grace. Grace has level. There's great grace, Acts 4:33. There's more grace, Philippians 4:6. There's exceeding grace. 2 Corinthians 9:14, there's abundant grace. 2 Corinthians 4:15, there's all grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8, you can grow in grace. Say, I'm going to grow in grace. The Bible talks about grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Say, grace upon grace. Spiritual gift heaped upon spiritual gift. I think it's 1 John 1:16, right? I hope I'm correct. Of his fullness have we received grace for grace. I like the Amplified. Spiritual gift heaped upon spiritual gift. Favor upon favor. Spiritual gift heaped upon blessing upon blessing. Hallelujah. See, I will grow in grace. Number three. How do we unlock this grace? How do we activate it? We ask in prayer. Say, we ask in prayer. Say, prayer. Say, prayer. And by prayer, I mean every activity that is involved in communicating with God, including praise, including worship, including your meditation. Prayer. Say, prayer. Prayer is not just koinonia or fellowship with God. It is how we access grace. It's how we access grace. Prayer is like going to the grace station. Like you go to the gas station. Oh, do you know what happens when you pray in the spirit? And long, you are recharging. You are refueling. It's like going to the gas station. In prayer, there is exchange. There is weakness for strength. 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Remember when Paul was praying about, he said, for I besought the Lord thrice. That was prayer. That it might depart from me. What? That thorn in prayer. How did God answer? And he said unto him, what? My grace. Say, we assess grace in prayer. Oh, yes. That's why you may be overwhelmed now. You may be giving up, and then you get to a place of praying the spirit or just fellowshipping with God, and from nowhere, you can't explain the strength. How many of you have felt that before? You just felt like you can't go on anymore. And then you heard a song that caused you to pray, that caused you to worship God, and you left that place feeling, you know what, let's take this devil. Let's take this mountain. Hallelujah. We assess grace in prayer. Say, we assess grace in prayer. Say, we assess grace in prayer. In prayer, there's exchange. Isaiah 61:3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We find that. So that which you get by, you know, that is imparted upon you spiritually is grace. Say grace. Grace. Hebrews 4:16. The best scripture for this. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne. His throne is called the throne. His throne is called throne. It's like a grace station. You come in there. You are running low on fuel. You branch. Get your cash or ATM. And then they plug in the nozzle there into the tank. And then your tank receives what? Some gas. And then you are like, hope you know that when you are driving and your fuel is on reserve, your heart is not at rest. Especially when you are driving on third mainland with traffic, with those boys. And you're on reserve. There is no, you are panicking. And if your car jacks a little, you're like, oh God. There are some people whose spiritual tank is unreserved. You only pray when you come to church. But today you assess grace. He says, we come boldly to the grace, to the throne of grace, to that grace station, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Grace is the help of God. And then you spend a few times, a few hours, a few minutes, just bringing the spirit. What you don't know is that there is an infilling going on. And then sometimes you sing in worship. is spirit to spirit. The Holy Spirit connects to your spirit. And there's an exchange. There's virtue. There's strength. There's this power that is plugged in. Acts 4:31 and 36. Say, so we assess grace in prayer. Oh, Zechariah 12:10 speaks about the spirit of grace and what? Supplication. It goes together. Spirit of grace and what? Supplication. Spirit of supplication is that ability to soar in prayer. And when they had what? Let's read together. I want to go. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And they were all, you see, they prayed and there was what? There was, you know, the Holy Ghost was filling their tank. Grace tank. And they spake the word of God, what? With boldness. Go to verse 33. And what? With great power. And gave what? The apostles, the witnesses of the Lord Jesus. And what? Great grace was upon them. After they had prayed in verse 31. After they had prayed and the place was shaken. You see? Great grace was released. May you find grace to come boldly. May we not rush out of the house every day because of work business. Isn't it amazing that the very thing that needs to keep you outside is what you ignore? Yesterday I was seated on a flight and a nice young man came, you know, dressed in all white. Looks like an Otumba or a chief or whatever. You know, had all these beads. But he was very well spoken and he was a big man. I wasn't sure he was a Christian, but when he sat down, the plane was about to take off and he just shut his eyes, meditating. And I felt that this thing was, you know, I'm like, is this prayer or prayer? So I just sat down there. But thank God for the spirit of grace. And I said to myself, even if if this person was the greatest babala in the world, greater is he that is in me. So when I put my head on my chair, I just found myself saying, if you go out of your body in this plane, you won't come back. You better be careful where you are doing that thing. Now, I'm not saying he was an evil man. I'm not sure because he was a good man. But for me, it was just the revelation that I had. The boldness. Because I had logged in some hours in the morning. I was filled with the word. So there was the holy confidence. And even in that flight, we went through a storm. Some storm. A bit. You know? When you're in the plane with Nigerians. Isn't it amazing that Nigerians will get on Virgin Atlantic or United flying for 12 hours. And you find this ease, they are not, you know. But they'll fly to Benin. 25 minutes. Oh, Lord. You see somebody who will play, Father, this. And at the slightest turbulence, they say, Jesus. I was going to worry one time. You know, so we had music ministers. I won't call her name. So she was seated by me. And we had quite of a shake. When the thing was shaking. Say, yeah, Pastor Nat. I said, sister. I said, everybody on their own here. But I said, calm down. If it won't land, it won't take off. If your plane will not land, it will not take off. I said, your plane shall not land, it will not take off. That plane is carrying destiny. It's carrying purpose. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have. That if we ask, it's a confidence. It comes with prayer. You know that you are jittery when you are not prayed. If you go into your day, prayed up. Not having confidence in yourself. When situations come, you are bold. But if you enter that prayer and you didn't pray for 1 week, Father Lord, the God of Babadi Adeboye, how about your own God?
The God of Pastor Nats. The God of Swap. You hear us also names. Hallelujah. Say we will pray. Say we will pray. We will assess grace. Do you know that we assess grace for the weakness of the flesh? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the spirit also help it. The more you pray, the more this yama yama sins, this weakness, these small lies, this lust begin to shed off. But when you are not praying, any small temptation hits you, you fall yakata. But when you are praying and those thoughts come, you just, you know, shake them off. Shake up that beast. Shake them off. Shake them off. As we pray, there is a praise as a place in prayer where the your spirit man is so strong, pushes back every advance from hell. Are you being blessed? Are you being blessed? Number four, acknowledge and appreciate God's grace. Oh, people miss it here. You see, the more you grow in the knowledge of God and of Christ, the more you grow in the knowledge of who He is and what He's done, the more you are so aware of the weight of what He did for you or what He has done for you on the cross. I put up that post on Instagram, the one we had last Sunday, talking about God's grace. How Jesus was a type of that brazen serpent, okay, in the wilderness when the children of Israel were beaten by a snake. And as they looked up, they were healed. Remember, the Bible says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come what to the Gentiles through faith. So Jesus became sin, became a curse. And as we look to Him, we are saved, we are redeemed, we are healed eternally, rescued from hell, death, and the grave. Now, when you come to a realization of that truth, you would overflow with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:7, New Living Translation. Being rooted in Christ and in faith, abounding with thanksgiving. You see, when your roots grow down in Him through knowledge, let your roots grow down into Him. How does it grow down? Through knowledge, through the revelation of His word. And let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow in the truth you were taught. And you what? Overflow with thanksgiving. People who experience God's grace truly are grateful people. I'm telling you, not just for mundane things. You see, as Christians, we get more excited about cars, marriage, and babies, and all that is good. I believe in the goodness of God. But if those are if your thrust is on those things and not on the real thing, the personality of God, the character of God. You see, let your life be built on Him. The revelation of the Christ, the revelation of your redemption and who you are in Him. Because as you know Him, you know you. And as you know your purpose. As you know your purpose, you begin to know your assignments. When your life is built and hinged on God and what He has done, you begin to say, wow, me, a sinner, once headed for hell. Paul says, calls himself the chief of sinners. You save me. You call me your own. Not just call me your own, you dwell inside of me. That provokes thanksgiving. And the more you thank God for His grace, the more you experience the grace, the more you unlock the grace. 1 Corinthians 1:4. Say, thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. Thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for your endowing grace. Thank you for your empowering grace. 1 Corinthians 1:4. 1 to go. I thank my God always on your behalf. Why? For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And why do we thank Him? This grace we enjoy is not our own. See, it's not our own. Let me show you a few scriptures.
Because people say, my grace. It's not your grace, oh. It's called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 16:20. I can give you 10 scriptures now. So we thank him for his grace. Say, for his grace. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of who? Verse 24 of that same Romans, verse 24. The grace of what? Jesus Christ be with you. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of who? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, it's not my grace. It's not my anointing. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are grateful for it. He's given us this grace so freely. Grace that helps. Grace that endows. So I can sing, I can do this, and then once I know that it's not mine, I'm grateful. That's why when we are called to minister to God's people, we don't charge them money. Let me not break that table now. Because we have received what? Freely. And freely what? Oh, Pastor, how do you survive? Say grace. He lavishes us with grace. He gives us all we need for life and for godliness. He makes us a blessing. And do you know, I tell people, when your life adds value, money follows value. Money follows value. Living for money is a low life. Just low life. Live for impact. Live to touch lives. And you will see people come with goodies. You see God rain favor. Say, it's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Say, it's his grace. Next, how do we access and unlock this grace? Generosity. Say, generosity. Generosity is both an expression and a catalyst or trigger for unlocking of God's grace. What do I mean? When people are truly walking in grace, they become gracious or generous. You cannot really, you will not find someone who is a person of grace who is not generous. Their hands are open. They give liberally. Not just resources, but their time, their effort, their love. Grace people are truly generous people. And the more you become generous, the more you occasion grace. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Corinthians 8:7 in the King James. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith. So, let me give you a context. Paul was talking about, was telling this church to remember their vow. They were going to send a gift to a church. He says, look, I'm just reminding you. Then he gave an example with a church in Macedonia because they are poor, yet they give from their poverty. But this church was excelling in faith. They were prayer church. You know, they are Christians, they are prayer warriors. Like they call them the prayer papas. No prayer papa here. In utterance, in knowledge, they are deep. In diligence. But their hand is tight. That's what Paul was saying. He said, you've excelled in all these things. See that ye abound in this grace also. In this grace also. He calls giving grace also. If you find someone who gives, forget poverty in their life. It's a grace. Go to verse 9 in the NLT. Go to the NLT in verse 7 again. Verse 7. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith. In other words, you can pray. You can believe God. You can move the mountain. And I tell people that prayer is not the seed for prosperity, financial prosperity. That's why sometimes you find people who pray a lot. Prayer band. They also struggle a lot. Because it's one side. God is a God of principles. You've excelled in faith. You can move mountains. You are gifted speakers. You have excelled in knowledge. Your enthusiasm, you are passionate. If we say go for crusade, like you are the one who carries the speaker. Your love from us. He says, but let's make it complete. I want you to excel also. In what? In this gracious act of giving. Verse 9. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that by his poverty, every now and then, look in your house, in your drawer, what you can give. Today I came to church with a carload of shoes for brothers. Because this gospel is not just talk. It's for those I have not given before. Amen. It's not your size. Amen. This thing about just going to your wardrobe, I'm like, oh, what should I wear today? Oh. And you glory in just looking at your clothes. And there's a sister in church whose shoes is doing praise worship and praising God. Or brother. And it doesn't touch you. Tell somebody, excel in this grace also. Have some extra cash. You see, I'm not talking about giving to God. It's not about giving to God now. That there's also that part where you give. I'm not talking about offerings and tithe. Those, if you are still struggling with that, you need help. You must have some spare cash with you every day. Not for yourself, for people. And you are looking out. You are looking out. If you live like that, you see grace in your life. Don't live for yourself. Don't live for yourself. Say to yourself, this 2025, whose life have I imparted? Who have I given to? Your family? Your parents? Some of us even give to our families. But you give to God and church. No. Charity begins at home. Don't bring big seed to pastor and I say, daddy in the Lord. No. And you've not given to your parents. No. That's just high service. So. A man or a woman who is not what? Taking care of what? His household. Tell somebody, excel in this grace also. Excel in this grace also. As you give, you begin to find God's grace explode in your life. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. But this I say, he which soweth what? Sparingly shall reap what? Also sparingly. He which soweth what? Bountifully shall reap also what? Bountifully. Every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity. Have you noticed that in this church, we are intentional and about not putting pressure on you to give? Offering time, easy. Account number, there. I'm not going to come to preach a sermon. You know why? Because if we teach you to love God, love will propel you to give. New Testament giving is not by force. If you go to a place and they put pressure on you, when you give, God is not happy with you. Because you're like, whoa, pastor, it's okay, let me just go. And then you come, just fling the thing. This. Even the angel that is just like this. The cash will become stone. Like you're striking the rock, striking the Son of God. We give freely. Say freely. And do you know, places where they don't put pressure on people, they are blessed. You don't need to manipulate God's people. You don't need to suggest it. Just teach the people to love God. And you, the head, give. If the head does not give, the people will not give. So if you're a husband, you want your children to be givers, you start giving. Teach your children giving. Let them see that you are a giver. Amen. Two more, we are done. Walk. Say walk. Somebody saying, Pastor, how is walk a trigger for grace? It looks like a contradiction. This is where believers go wrong. Christ has done everything, so we lounge. Who told you? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which has bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I do what? I labored more abundantly than they, or in other words, I walk more than. Christians talk in tongues too much and are very lazy. In our offices, we are not shining. We are there. Don't join Hallelujah Challenge in your office when you should be working. No, that's not the time. Don't play NSPPD when you are supposed to be in the office. Don't play Koinonia. Don't play Daddy Gio. When it's time to walk, you walk. I walk more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Walk is the platform that grace finds expression through. Walk. Why do you need fuel if you don't want to drive? Why do you need fuel? The fuel in your car is for you to drive. That fuel itself will not drive you. You still have to what? Switch on the car. Press your legs on the throttle and move. Grace is an empowerment to walk. Say grace. Grace is an empowerment to walk. You can pray in tongues all you like. When you pray, you release grace, like a fuel, but it needs a platform to express itself. Oh, I thank God. Christ Jesus has done everything. This exam coming, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Rababa shakala babara. You've not read, you will fail graciously. You will graciously what? Fail. They give you a task in the office, a target. You're not putting your best. You're not excellent in the job, but you are speaking in tongues. You are laying hands on your computer. You're not doing the work. They will sack you graciously. Tell somebody, walk. Jesus said, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. John 5:17. Grace is not for lazy people. Grace is not for lazy people. But Jesus answered them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. John 9:4, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man. When God sees your hands busy, he releases grace. Christians, do your work excellently. The difference will be as you put your work, yours will become what? Easier and better. You will do the same work, but with supernatural energy, supernatural assistance, and the outcome will be better. People will say, how are you doing this? Say, by grace. I am what I am. By the grace of God. So when you pray, you unlock grace. But if there's no platform for that grace to find expression, you will live a life of so much talk, but no fruit. Next, your words. Say words. We unlock grace with words of grace, gracious words. Colossians 4:6. I can't overstate this too much, that our words dictate our life, the quality of life we live. A man shall be satisfied by what? The fruit of his lips. A man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his lips. He that will love good life, let him keep his mouth from what speaking vile. I don't die, oh, you will see death around you. Oh, you say, we just didn't manage. You will stifle the grace of God. No. Let your speech always be with grace. Be with grace. What is that grace? What's that grace? Blessing. Favor. I am blessed. He says, seasoned with salt. What is salt? Preserves. Let your word be preserving. Let your word be pure. Salt purifies. Let your word purify. No vulgar words. No vile words from your mouth. No vile words. I will speak of what? Excellent things. Proverbs 8:6-8. I'll speak of truth, of wisdom, of knowledge. Speak hope. Your words are powerful. See, your words are powerful. Don't speak how you feel. Speak what you want to see. Let me say it again. Don't speak how you feel. Speak what you want to see. Speak the word. What we see are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. I just feel like saying my mind. Your mind has no power like the word. And I just want to say, sorry, to come out of my mind. No. Speak the word. Say, speak the word. The Bible says as they were filled, they spoke. They spoke as they were filled. One more. How do we assess that grace? Prophetic impartation of grace. Prophetic impartation of grace. People who bear grace, who walk in grace, can speak words that would affect you graciously. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. 1 Timothy 4:14. 1 Timothy 4:14. I'm a product of many prophetic words. I've shared how I wanted to release my album. And I said, no, I won't come out without a word from my Father and the Lord. Cleared my account. I sent a seed to Daddy. I said, Daddy, please, just, I don't need to see you. Just speak a word. 4 months later, he wrote a letter. You will grow in leaps and bounds. God will water and prosper you. That word is still carrying me today. You will prosper. I say you are blessed. Priests are commanded to bless. We have the commanded blessing. I say the Lord bless and keep you. Amen. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Amen. The Lord be gracious unto you. Amen. May he lift up his countenance upon you. Amen. And give you his shalom. Amen. Ezra 6:16. Let's go to 14. And the elders of the Jews builded and they prospered through the prophesyings of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it. Through the prophesying, believe the Lord your God, it shall be established. Believe his prophets and shall prosper. There's something, and for some people, God has some prophets in your life. He says he'll give you teachers according to his own heart who will feed you. There are some people I know in my life, I don't joke with their words. Every now and then, God sends a man or a woman, and their words over you carry weight. May I step in that shoe this morning and speak over you? As one who carries God's grace, I declare you blessed. Amen. I declare you blessed. Amen. I declare you blessed. I've shared the story of my wife. My wife is here. I share it every time. We went to Abuja. People were sharing, you know, testimonies from our ministry. Pastor Nat did this. Pastor Nat. Oh, Pastor Nat. I said, glory to God. My wife came back. He said, babe, take me to the bank. I said, what happened? He said, I'm in this house because you're my husband. Went to Abuja. Everybody's saying they did this. But Brace, and I'm here. I'm just doing wife. I want to sow into your life. I said, calm down now. He said, if you don't take me now, I'm going to leave. That's what she's here. I said, calm down. But I was saying the calm down, like, okay, calm down. Finally. Okay. Amen. Okay. I said, babe, calm down. He said, take me to the bank. You see, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. If your husband is a prophet, you receive him in the name of your pali. You receive a pali's reward. Learn to draw the line. God places some things on certain people. So we went to the bank. She transferred money to my account and said, I want to honor you as a prophet. And I spoke over her. Then for the first time in my ministry, I went to minister at somebody's funeral service, a Catholic church. They forced me to. I said, okay, I'll go. when I was done, they sent me an offering. They said, Pastor Nat, we've sent something to your account. Please, half of it is for your wife. Half is for you. That half was exactly the amount of money she paid into my account. A week later, I went to Warri to minister. When I finished ministering, they gave me an envelope, an honorarium. The pastor's wife gave me a check. He said, this is for your wife. The pastor gave me a check. He said, this is for your wife. The church wrote a check. He said, this is for your wife. Since that day. Amen. When she says, oh, okay, I hear you want to do an album. This is for this thing. And sometimes I will go to minister in a place. I'm the one who ministered. My body have prayed. The people who have the audacity to say, man of God, you are bigger than this. This is for your wife. I say, bigger than what? How, who is the person ministering? This Abuja, I went, as they still gave for her. I declare you blessed. See, the grace you honor honors you. I declare you blessed. I declare you blessed. Finally, grace has responsibility. There's responsibility of grace. Galatians 2:21, we don't frustrate grace. You don't. What does it mean to frustrate grace? In other words, grace is there to help you, but you want to do it on your own. You can't do it in your strength and grace at the same time. By strength, I don't mean you're not working. I mean, you are ignoring the place of prayer, you are ignoring the place of instruction, you are ignoring the place of the prophetic, and you want to go about things on your own by your works. If it's by works, it's not by grace. And let me explain when we talk about works. Dead works are those things you do to try to earn God's love and grace. He's already loved you. But there is a responsibility of grace. We are saved unto good works. It's the response of grace. Say response of grace. So we don't frustrate the grace of God. When grace is available and we don't take advantage of it, we frustrate grace. Another way we frustrate grace is Romans 6 verse 1. Deliberately sinning. I call it blackmailing grace. Oh, Christ has done everything. We are living in a time of grace. So you can do everything. You are blackmailing grace. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that what? What is God's response? What is Paul's response? God forbid. Say God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Any grace that absolves you of responsibility, moral responsibility, and you know the responsibility of living holy and godly is not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today that grace will visit you. Can you lift your hands wherever you are? Thank him for grace. Thank him for grace. Thank him for grace. Very shortly, we're going to anoint everyone. We're going to lay hands on you. I'm going to speak grace over you as your pastor. I believe in the prophetic. I believe that men who carry a dimension of God's grace can speak words of life into your spirit, and they bear influence in a matter of time. If you are here, I began by saying to unlock this grace, you have to accept this grace. If you are not born again, you have no access into this grace. Jesus Christ is full of grace. But we find access through his blood. His blood makes a way into the holiest place, into the throne of grace. Hallelujah. His blood makes a way, a new and living way, into the holiest place where we call the throne of grace, where we access grace. So if you are not washed in his blood, you have no access to this grace. So wherever you are, eye closed, head bowed, Pastor Nathaniel, I want to access this grace. I want to surrender to the Lord Jesus. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that he came, he died and rose again. I want him to be Savior and Lord of my life. Wherever you are, can you wave? Wave. Don't be ashamed. Don't reject this grace. Remember, I said that people can reject this grace. Wherever you are, can you wave at me? Pastor Nathaniel, I want this grace. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, anybody. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. Wave. Don't be ashamed. If you don't respond to this grace, you are rejecting the grace. You are rejecting this grace. Wave, wave. God bless you, my brother. Once you wave, you mean you are accepting this grace. Now, those of you who are waving, take one more step. Take your Bibles and your belongings and run to me now. Run to me now. Those in the overflow, please come. Come to Jesus. Forget about who is looking at you. Oh, clap as they come. Clap as they come. There is somebody with a stomach condition. In the name of Jesus, be healed. While you are here, it's been troubling you. Be healed right now. Be healed right now. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Keep clapping. That grace empowers. Keep clapping as they come. They've got their minds made up. God bless you. God bless you. All the imagined leaders, pastors, come and minister to them. Lead them into God's throne of grace. The rest of us, can we stand? Congratulations, my new brothers and sisters. Your life will never remain the same again. I made this decision years ago, and see what the Lord has done. It has come full circle. Now he's using me to make you do the same thing. Everyone, lift up your hands. That grace empowers. It empowers. It's the power of God. It's the help of God. He helps us live a godly life. Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? Say, in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you. Say, in the name of Jesus. I declare that I assess grace that empowers to live the godly life and to do exploits. Open your mouth and pray. I need more people to lead these ones. We can't pray for souls and not take care of them. Quickly, let them believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. That prayer fire is weak. Say, the grace that empowers, let it come on me. The grace that empowers one to live the godly life, to do exploits, let it come on me now. Oh, it says you are not praying. Can I have the anointing oil and all the... How about the saucers? Grace beautifies. Grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.